Does the creation need another stroke? Don't they hear enough about smack and fucking blow? Drugs, addiction, and dumb shit. It's just so damn lit. It's all they know.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Dopey Tuesday, the podcast on Tuesday, often centered around drugs, addiction, and dumb shit. I'm sitting here with strung-out author, former elite equestrian, and unlicensed advice columnist, the great Aaron Carr. Welcome back to the show, Dopey Tuesday.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be on Dopey Tuesday.
And that, of course, was Brer Bryan, the creator of such hits as Don't Pull Your Love Out of Me, Dopey, One Dopey at a Time, Home Sweet Dopey, Fucking Dopey, Dopaleo.
So good.
You liked it.
Yeah.
Feel you support Brian's take.
I do.
He's like Howard Stern had a guy called Sour Shoes who would do like a lot of like music that he would do himself, whatever.
Yeah.
And Brer is kind of like our Sour Shoes.
I love it.
He's pretty good.
Yeah. He does a really good job.
He's kind of a musical genius. I think he plays whistles and harmony in that.
He does. It's a little echoey.
Let me hear.
It sounds more echoey than before. I don't know why.
Oh, I know what it is.
Because that other volume is up?
Here, talk.
Doesn't it sound a little echoey?
No, I think it sounds fantastic.
Okay.
What's wrong with it?
I don't know.
Maybe it's just too loud
maybe
for you
that's what it
in
is.
The headphones.
Right.
Maybe you don't like that.
You're losing your hearing, maybe.
I listened. Does your phone tell you you listen to everything too loud?
No.
Oh, I listen to everything at max volume.
Really?
And it tells me every day. Maybe you should turn your headphones down.
Maybe you need to get your hearing checked.
Maybe you shouldn't smoke heroin on aluminum foil. Aluminium. Aluminium causes dementia.
Yes. I think I'm doomed.
Aaron, do you want to share your latest mishap with
yes.
the Dopey Nation?
So I'm coming over here today, and I'm not paying attention, so I come up to like the block.
Hold up,
of,
before you say, how many times do you think you've been here?
I have no idea. Like
20 times, at least.
Right. Yeah. So I get here, and I'm on, but to be fair, I was on my phone like texting, so I wasn't really paying attention, and I like just go to the first building, and I'm like, this doesn't look right. And then I look at the little like scroll of like names to buzz and it wasn't there. And I'm like, wow, it's the next set of buildings. And I just felt like, wow, I couldn't believe it. Like, I really was like, are these the early signs of dementia that I'm just haplessly walking up to the wrong building?
I wonder, it's not a good story for you. For
no.
It's not a hopeful story for your aging years.
No, it's not.
But maybe Alzheimer's and dementia are not treated well now. They have nothing good for it.
No, that's actually not true. If they can identify early signs of it, there is medication, I think, to slow it down.
Right.
But you know, it's all related to fucking dopamine too. Like there's a connection between like Parkinson's and dopamine and like dementia and dopamine and Alzheimer's and dopamine.
And?
And I mean, I don't think they really know why, but there's something where, like, even if they gave you more dopamine, like, your whatever, like, then takes the dopamine and puts it where it's supposed to go in your brain, like, stops working.
That's interesting.
Which is, you know, my nightmare, because I feel like my entire life has been, like, always, like, at the mercy of my shitty dopamine levels.
No kidding. So, yeah. How, by the way, are you horseback riding, or are you, I haven't heard about you horseback riding
ridden in over a year. I need to find a new barn. This is one of the things I want to do this year. You know, it's like time. It's like that I need to take the time to go and go look at a couple of barns and find one, and then make the commitment to go at least once a week.
Right. And you had said if you do go demented, you want your family to stick you in a 90s-centric room and tell you that the 90s are still going.
Right. Just tell me I'm like, I mean, minus the drugs part. Like, maybe I can redo the 90s. Without the drugs.
But why not do drugs at that point?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's funny because KDB, Dopey Nation KDB, had surgery and had opiates, and she liked the IV drip Dilaudid, but then she didn't like it at home.
Right.
And I said, oh, that's the Aaron Carr effect.
Yeah, although the last time I had surgery, when I had my thyroid surgery, I didn't really even enjoy it in the hospital. The only thing I enjoyed were like those 3 seconds right before I went under like anesthesia.
Yeah, that sounds
good. That was like, if I could have stayed there, great. But then afterwards, because also I wasn't legitimately in pain, and I really do think, I'm hoping that by the time I'm like on death's door, that my opiate fun receptors will allow me a little relief.
I think I hope so too. I hope so for both of us.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I've asked you this before, but I just want to get your fresh take. Sure. When's the last time you went to the dentist?
I went to the dentist last month.
And nitrous, no nitrous?
Oh, I've only had nitrous when I had a tooth pulled.
When?
I mean, this was like 15,
so you don't,
years
when
ago.
You go to the dentist, you don't sit there praying that for some reason he decides to give you nitrous.
The only time it's ever been offered to me was when I had a tooth pulled.
Do you think I have an unhealthy obsession with nitrous?
No. I mean, nitrous is fucking fun. So like if they're giving it to you for a reason, you know, in the UK, when women are in childbirth, they use nitrous and it's self-administered so they can give themselves nitrous. But they're not laughing the way when I had nitrous at the dentist, I remember hearing the dentist say, like, now there's going to be, you may hear a loud crack when the tooth comes out. And I thought that was the funniest fucking thing in the world. It was like, I was like at like a rave in my head. fun.
Nitrous laughs are like of the best laughs.
And so short lived.
But that's why I don't think of it as a relapse. Because it only lasts as long as the gas is flowing.
Yeah.
And I mean,
it's not a relapse if they're giving it to you for a reason.
I'm going to the dentist soon. And I will not get a teeth cleaning without nitrous. I will not.
Oh, that's so fun. Your dentist gives you nitrous.
I have to find a new dentist.
I don't think that they do.
They
that.
Do. They, you know what they
oh,
call
they
it?
Do?
Comfort cleaning.
Oh.
And I need comfort cleaning. My first experience with nitrous was a block away. Uh-huh. There was a dentist. We had a family dentist called Dr. Sweeter. But he didn't like him. Mm-hmm. I think he had a thing for my mom or something. Mm-hmm. It was like some weird shit.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. And I don't know. There was some weird Dr. Sweeter
business.
No, I
know. You pick up like business. A vibe. Yeah.
And then I didn't like Dr. Sweeter. And then this strange Russian man dentist came in. And I remember I don't know if I had a cavity. I don't know what. Mm-hmm. I was just older and I never had a cavity. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was my first cavity. And he goes, have you ever experimented with marijuana, as he's giving me the gas, and I fucking die because I hadn't, but just listening to him say it, maybe
that's
I
amazing.
Had, I just die.
Yeah.
And then my second nitrous was in another neighborhood dentist. Uh-huh. That was Dr. Nathanson. I didn't care for her either.
Right.
I don't. She was close to my mom too, but I don't.
What if your mom had like secret affairs
with all
dentists.
The dentists of the neighborhood? What the fuck is that? Oh, that's so funny that guy's calling me. I was just thinking of that guy today. It's terrifying. It came in on the headphones on the Bluetooth.
Oh, that is really. You got to put it on Do Not Disturb. Right, D&D.
D&D, it's happening. It's done. When do you say D&D?
I mean, that's just like, I guess I really don't say it. I use it in text. Like, oh, I was on D&D. If somebody text messages me and I didn't, it took me a couple hours to see it, it's because I was on D&D.
Is that an acronym? What's an acronym?
An acronym is just letters that represent the words.
So D&D is an acronym.
Yeah.
You use acronyms.
I do a lot in texting too. Yeah.
So what are your, and I want to get back to my nitro story, but what are your favorite acronyms?
I use LMK a lot, like let me know.
Yeah.
BRB, be right back.
Why? What?
I use
what
LOL.
Gives you,
to
what
like,
makes you feel so entitled to use this many acronyms in your tags? Why do you do it?
Because I'm one of those annoying texters, who, like, which you probably know. Like, I don't send like a whole. But I think you're kind of do this too. Like, I'll send several texts in a row that could have just been one text.
I do. That's right. The people don't like that.
No, but that's like, I think that's like my ADD.
I do the exact same thing. But I don't write long texts.
No, you're a phone person.
And I'm a horrible texter.
You're not a good texter.
Horrible.
No.
I'm not a good texter.
No.
I hate acronyms via text. I've always hated them. I feel like they're like something I'm not in on. Even though I know what they mean, I feel somehow excluded via acronym. And like, it's funny because I used to make fun of Chris so much for LOL.
Right.
And I think it's because I didn't know what it meant in the
beginning.
Yeah, I think so.
I use it. I overuse it. And I've talked to other women about this. I think a lot of times it's like a way of like, I don't know,
yeah, softening something. You get sexually harassed and you write back, LOL.
Yeah, no, it's true.
That's how you deal with it.
It's so true. Like anytime anybody has sent me a DM that like is like borderline, I'm just like, LOL. Like, I don't know what to say.
Get me out of here.
So it's just kind of like, I'm going to assume you're joking.
Right. You repulse me. LOL. I got to go. I'm done. So my second nitrous experience with Dr. Nathanson, who I don't like.
Okay.
I hope she's not listening. She gives you the gas, but first she gives you a Walkman. And she's
so you can listen to what you want.
You listen, and I put on like Hot 97, old school hip hop. Yeah. And then the nitrous hits me, and I was like, this is the fucking greatest.
Yeah.
Then I had a dentist. Then I did nitrous for fun and loved it.
Right.
And then
people used to steal. I remember in the 90s, people would steal like at raves. They'd show up, they would steal nitrous tanks and bring them to raves.
Oh, yeah. I mean, oh my God. I was just on the phone with this guy, this painter, John Bucati, my new friend, painter John Bucati.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying they sell mini tanks in head shops, like as big as a big water bottle.
Oh, I'm sure.
And everybody's just buying these mini bottles.
I think it kills a lot of brain cells.
Oh, man. I feel like I might have too many. And I don't know. I
can't, you know, with dementia on the way, I can't afford to lose anymore.
You can't. But I think I could spare a few for anxiety, brain
That's
cells.
That's true.
Over worrying.
That's true.
Overthinking.
Maybe with dementia, I won't be anxious.
You won't. You will not.
As long as nobody sort of interrupts whatever like my dementia reality is. That's where people get fucked up, is when people are like, no, that's not true. This is true.
Right. That's when it gets very, very frightening. I was on the Long Island Railroad. You want to hear another Aaron Carr moment?
Sure.
I'm on the Long Island Railroad and I have to change trains.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to change trains and I'm very set up in my Long Island Railroad travels.
Right.
And when you change trains, you're not.
It's automatic.
No, yeah, but right. When you get to the new train, like there's, you don't get your camp, you don't get your like little area, whatever. And I sit down next to this woman who's in my camp, which is like the one seat with the two seats in the front. And I sit down next to her and she's watching TV on her phone. And I look at her phone and you know what she's watching. Fucking Beverly Hills 90210.
Really?
And she's watching 90210. And,
did you see which episode?
Yes. I mean, I'm so fucking mentally ill.
Yeah.
Such a girl. Forgive me. Forgive girls. I fucking look at the phone.
Uh-huh.
Kelly is in the beach apartment at the door, answering the door. And I said, oh, it's her modeling pics arriving.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Post-fire
modeling pics.
The second she opens the door, I'm like, oh, she's getting her modeling.
I love that.
And I just look at the phone for a fucking second.
Right.
And that's disturbing.
It is disturbing. I mean, it's disturbing in that there are so many things like that that take up space in like our memory bank. Not that there's more space, but I think like our little librarian is tired, right? You're about to turn 50. I'm 50. They've been cataloging shit in our brains for a long time. And that comes up a lot. So it stays at the front. It's easy for them to pull out. Whereas apparently finding which building I'm going to is not.
No, I don't know people. I don't recognize people. I don't like know family members. And I know
right.
in 5 seconds that Kelly Taylor
is about to get modeling pics.
Because it's, and how many times has she opened that fucking door?
So many times. How but do, you know, you knew because your brain's like, according to her hair and outfit, I know what season, I know what's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like, she looks happy.
Right.
And she's getting a package.
Right.
Did Dylan send her something? No, that's not what, you know, it's just fucking. And then I said to the woman, I said, 90210. And she looked shamed. She went, yes.
No, so, live yeah, the dream, girl.
See, and then I kind of like imagine this woman
mm-hmm.
riding the train back and forth wherever Hempstead, to,
right?
You know, whatever, and Hophog to you know back and forth. And if it was me, if I ever got in the routine, I would never stop watching it,
right?
And I would just watch it over and over, and mm-hmm. I'd be in a dimension where my whole life is not. When I'm on a Long Island Railroad, I'm in Beverly Hills.
Right.
You know, and I kind of said that to her, and she said, what? She said, no. She said, I just started watching again. Like, meaning like I'm not that mentally ill.
Well, I have, speaking of rewatching, I started rewatching The Sopranos.
Me too. Where are you?
I am in season 6.
Wow.
I'm near the end. And I got to tell you, like, I've been feeling like anxious and depressed for no reason. And then I realized, I think it's because of the fucking Sopranos.
Why?
Because, like, Tony's, like, sort of, like, anxiety. He's got anxiety about death, right? He's got anxiety about where he's going to go. That brings up, like, my anxiety about getting older and death. And then I had anxiety about the fact that he died. And then also just, like,
James Gandolfini.
Yeah. Also, Tony dies in the last episode.
That's never proven.
David Chase, last year in his interview, confirmed that.
But it doesn't matter because we don't witness his death.
All right, sure. But
for me, he didn't die.
I understand. But like also just like the brutality of the shit that happens on that show. It's so fucking good, that show. I love it so much. But like, you know, like a few episodes ago, Adriana's death, like
That's
Adriana's
a rough
death.
One.
That one is fucking rough.
Oh, Silvio drives her.
Mm-hmm. And she fucking knows the whole time. Yeah, and she's just tears streaming down her face. And then she won't get out of the car. She tries to lock the door. I mean, it's a whole thing. Like, that's so fucking sad. And then when Junior shoots Tony in the 6th season, like the end of the first episode, I think. And then he's in the hospital, like in a coma. And like Edie Falco's so, everybody on that show, the acting is just so good. She is so good where she's just like begging him not, you know, because they're like, they don't think he's going to make it. And if he does, he's going to be a vegetable. And she's just like hysterical. I mean, it's so good.
So you don't feel there's been a deterioration from season 1 to season 6?
No, it just gets darker. The deterioration is that I don't know if I want to finish season 6 because I know what's coming. I know who's going to get killed. Like, everyone gets killed.
Well, the problem that I have with season 6, and I'm glad that you're not experiencing deterioration and you watched it all,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think I'm in 3 right now,
mm-hmm.
and it's like the best of times. Joey Pants is in it. Fucking, you know, it's so good. But I remember in season 6 in my life, when season 6 came out, I was definitely using and I was in trouble.
Mm.
And I remember being disappointed that we didn't get more of the New York Sopranos war. Like really going to the mattresses and the guys like really like going to a place together and staying there.
I hate Phil Leotardo.
Do you?
Yeah, I can't stand him.
I love Phil with what's his face? What's the fat guy?
Oh, Vito?
With Vito's kid. I love.
Oh, no.
He's like, you're a disgrace. Because the kid wears makeup. And Phil, you're not up to the episode yet.
I'm not. That's in season 6. But also, so I'm at the episode where like Vito's getting killed.
Mm.
And the way they kill Vito is also so fucking brutal.
Brutal, horrible.
And it's, so it's just like, I think season six is like, it's kind of like where it kind of had to go. But it's just, I guess seasons one through four, like it's still like fun, you know, like even though it's really lots of fucked up shit happens, it's still really fun. And I kept thinking like, I think this is what's like, I think I'm depressed because of The Sopranos.
I like that you vacillate between Sopranos and Sopranos.
I know, and I do.
I think that's great. I do too. Sopranos.
How do they
Sopranos.
Say it on the show? Anthony Soprano.
They say it both
Soprano.
Ways.
Yeah, they do. They Maybe that's why ways. I do it that way.
They say it both ways. The thing that, there's so many things about The Sopranos. Like when Chris was alive, we did a show just about what ice cream we liked
mm-hmm.
and The Sopranos.
What
and
do you mean when Chris was alive?
When Chris O'Connor was alive.
Oh, I thought you meant like Michael Imperioli. Like, he is still alive.
No, when not Christopher, not right. Chris Moltisanti, right. but Chris O'Connor was alive, we had a big debate
uh-huh.
over the episode after Christopher dies and
right.
Tony goes to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And at the end of the episode, he's on peyote mm-hmm. in the desert and he screams, I get it. You know, but Chris O'Connor. Oh, God, I don't even remember what he said. Chris thought he said, I have it or something. The Dopey Nation's going to be disappointed with me. I kind of need to
look it up.
Hold on one sec. Yeah, the fight that Chris and I had, and mm-hmm. I got very angry at him during mm-hmm. this thing, was I knew that Tony Soprano says, I get it.
Right.
And Chris was sure that he said, I did it.
Right.
And then we watched it and it was very clear that he said, I get it. And
right.
Chris accepted that he was an idiot. But yeah, I mean, I've tried to make Dopey as Sopranos. That's the new pronunciation. As Sopranos.
This is Sopranos themed soup restaurant.
No, right. That's the newest
Sopranos.
Thing.
Sopranos.
Well, do you know, I mean, like when I did The Last Jewish Waiter mm-hmm. episode two, I had Gay Vito on. Mm-hmm. And in Dopeyland, we've had Lilo Brancato, mm-hmm. who played Matthew Bevilacqua.
Mm-hmm.
We had Michael Imperioli, who right. played Christopher. We had, what's that fucking guy? Modi, who played the Hasidic Jew in the motel.
Yeah, yeah.
And we played Robert Eiler, who was AJ.
Right.
You know, and Robert Eiler as... And they were all incredibly yeah. frustrating, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Okay, Modi just shit on me in the show and was hysterical. Dopey, shout out to Modi, Dopey legend. Fucking, who is the other non-important one that I just mentioned? Oh, Lilo Brancato.
Right, right.
Lilo Brancato called in when Chris was alive.
Mm-hmm.
Was on for like 15, 20 minutes or mm-hmm. something. And then when I circled back, he said he wouldn't come on without money. That always hurts. And
yeah.
And then I stopped following him on Instagram out of resentment and hatred.
That's so weird. I mean, I don't think I've never heard of a podcast paying someone.
I've paid a few people. Do you want to know who I've paid?
I know someone you've paid.
Who?
Andy Dick.
No, I didn't pay him.
Oh, you didn't pay
he
him?
He wanted money.
Right.
He wanted money, but then when I followed up to pay him, he just never got back to
oh.
me. Andy Dick wanted money and I didn't pay him. And then, but I tried to pay him.
Right.
There's only two Dopey guests in the history of Dopey who I've paid.
Mm-hmm.
One was Lenny Dykstra.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you know the Lenny Dykstra story? It's like my favorite Dopey story. It has the N-word in it, though. So I'll tell you the story.
Okay.
So.
You're going to have to bleep the N-word.
I'm not going to use okay. the N-word. I've hit a point in my life where even though I think that there's comedic value in using the N-word, I'm not getting
right.
on that bus.
Right.
So This American Life just comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And we needed a guest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm tweeting at Lenny Dykstra.
Mm-hmm.
And Lenny Dykstra says, and I don't know if you know who Lenny Dykstra is. He played outfield for the New York Mets in 1986.
Oh, I knew the name.
When they
okay,
won the
right,
World
okay.
Series. And
yeah,
he, and he
yeah.
played for Philadelphia. And he's a horrible drug addict, alcoholic,
right.
gigolo, crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached out to him to come on the show because I wanted a name following This American Life.
Right.
And he's like, I'll do it for $300. And I was like, I don't think so. I was like, I don't want to pay $300. And then I was texting with the This American Life producer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, just pay him. And I was like, okay, I'll pay him. And he goes, I'll bring you some rare Lenny Dykstra ephemera. Never before seen Lenny Dykstra.
Did he?
No. Oh. But that morning, I'm going to do a Katz's catering event at Brown Brothers Harriman. And I'm doing research on Lenny Dykstra. And he's like pretty crazy. He's like using and like, you know, he's like a sex worker. It's like a lot of crazy stuff.
And he was still an active addiction.
Yeah, deep active addiction. And so I'm sitting at the table with this kid, Noel, who was cutting for me. And Noel is the biggest Mets fan. And he was super excited. Mm-hmm. Lenny Dykstra's coming on. And I was like, he's coming to my dad's house. And Noel was fucking with me. He's like, oh, he might rob you. Or blah, blah. And I was like, fuck, I don't want that. And so I texted Lenny Dykstra. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why don't we just do Zoom and I'll give you $200. Mm-hmm. And he calls me. My phone rings. And I see Lenny Dykstra. And he goes, do you think I'm some kind of N-word that you won't have me at your father's house? And I said, no, Lenny Dykstra.
Oh
my gosh. I don't think that at all. And he goes, I'll do it for $200. And I said, okay, I'll see you later. And he came over. But like, he had also like a book, another Mets player came out with a book that week that said that Lenny Dykstra was a racist. And I should have leaked the story then because it could have been huge.
Oh, my gosh.
Huge dopey story. And then the second dopey person I've paid is the most corrupt policeman in the history of New York, Michael Dowd. He needed $200 and lunch and didn't deliver that. And, you know, neither were sober.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. So I think Lilo Brancato Jr. actually works in recovery. So the fact that he wanted money from me, it just seems a little unseemly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like that.
No.
I don't like that. So I got an email for us.
Okay.
Do you want to read it or do you want me to read it?
Whatever you want.
All right. And this is from dopey Canadian super fan Melanie.
Oh, wait. I think I got the same email.
Yes.
Yes. Also, wait. Somebody who was in the Zoom was Canadian and said, I spoke at a dopey meeting and said something about like, we still don't know if Dave likes Canadians or not. And I said, the jury's still out.
Well,
I'm joking. You love our Canadian friends.
I love our Canadian friends.
Yes.
Absolutely. But I have serious problems. I'm like just fucking deranged person. But I love all people.
They're like your annoying upstairs neighbor that rolls the bowling ball at night.
Well, I don't know. It's just my way of I'm very direct.
Right.
But I'm also very overly direct. Mm-hmm. I say more than I have to. Mm-hmm. And the Canadian way is less direct and more reserved, and I think the way those two things interact creates
tension,
a xenophobia against Canadians in me.
What's funny though is that I feel like Midwesterners tend to be a little like Canadians. There's a politeness and like a reluctance to really say what they want to say.
But it's not
not the same way.
No, it's not. It's not.
All right.
I hate Canadians. I really do.
Oh, no.
I hate them all except Melanie.
Except for Melanie.
No. There's a few prize Canadians that I do love. I mean, let's say I love Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things about... I'm sure there's a lot of Canadians who fucking hate me.
You know? There's a lot of shitty Americans, too.
For sure. All right, here we go. Hi, Dave and Aaron. I hope my favorite, and she spells favorite with a U because she's Canadian.
Right.
I hope my favorite podcaster and my favorite advice expert are doing well.
Aw.
I have a question I wanted to share with you both. It's actually a question for Dave, which is nice. Change of pace.
Yeah.
But I thought Aaron might have some valuable advice on the topic as well. I know if it's too long, so I understand if it doesn't make the cut. Everything I say is too long. She's very hard on herself, Mel. First off, I love Dopey very much, and I've got a real soft spot for you, Dave. So much of what you say resonates with me when you talk about weed, sugar, how your mind works and works against you. The list goes on. The more I listen to Dopey, the more I feel like I found it at the right time. I smoked weed regularly most of my adult life, and I feel like it's time for a change, but I can barely fathom not smoking at this point. It's a deep-rooted habit and my major source of comfort. Other than a long list of personality defects, my life is very good. I have a wonderful family and a great job and a lot of gratitude. My addictions are not threatening my life or stability, but I know they are holding me back. I don't enjoy it like I used to, and my habits are expensive and unhealthy. Cigarettes and sugar are addictions too. I keep thinking about reducing or quitting the weed and smoking. I make plans, but I never make changes. Dave made big changes at 41, and I'm 41. He's talked about a sponsor asking him what his problem with being uncomfortable. And it wasn't a sponsor. It was a rehab
counselor.
Counselor, mm-hmm. Thank you. I related to his response, what's to like about being uncomfortable? I feel the same way, and that is my obstacle. I'm anxious and too sensitive. See, that's very not Canadian. I'm anxious and too sensitive. I overthink everything, and I don't want to be any more uncomfortable than I already am on neutral. Mm-hmm. Life is good and stable as it is, but I want to grow, and I feel stuck. My question is, Dave, how do you feel about being uncomfortable now? Can you talk about the journey of contending with discomfort over the years? Do either of you have any advice for someone like me who recognizes their addictions and wants to get better but doesn't have a crisis to motivate them? Thanks and much love to you both. You are the very best. I listen to Dopey every day, and Aaron, you are easily one of my favorite guest hosts in Dopey history. Keep coming back. Stay strong and toodles. Love, Mel. So what do you relate to about this?
So, I mean, what I relate to is sometimes even in 21 years of recovery, there have been moments when there could be a behavior unrelated to substances that I realized it's not like it was impeding my life in like some sort of critical way, but was holding me back from either reaching a goal or fulfilling desires that I had or evolving. And I think that it sounds to me like this is a situation where she recognizes that the sort of like leaning on weed and cigarettes and sugar has gotten to the point that she's in discomfort still going to those same behaviors, right? So like I got to a point where I recognized that my behavior in relationships wasn't going to work for me as an adult, that if I wanted to actually have the kind of relationships in my life, not just like romantic, but like just friendships too, that I was going to have to change certain things and be uncomfortable. I used to be terrible at like telling people the truth about where I was at on a day-to-day basis, and that stopped working for me. I became more uncomfortable not being honest about how I was feeling. Whereas now, if I'm having a hard time, I can say I'm having a hard time to Seth or to you or to another friend or to my therapist or whomever. So that was like a change that happened because what used to be comfortable had started causing me more discomfort.
What about like what she's saying about weed or I don't know if she said cigarettes.
She did cigarettes and sugar.
Okay, like what are some, because obviously you were a horrible heroin addict and crack addict.
Mm-hmm.
Like what were some lesser comforts that you found that like made it easy to like deal with life that you gave up, and how has it been since?
Well, definitely cigarettes, because when I stopped using, I was pregnant, so I had to quit smoking too. I mean, I didn't have to, but I wanted to because I knew the risks. At that time, in like the early days, it was going to the movies. I went to the movies constantly. I went and saw every good and shitty movie that came out like spring and summer of 2003. And I'd go with people, I'd go by myself. And leaning on sugar a little bit, I started drinking soda, and I was never a soda drinker. I didn't like it out of a can. It had to be like fountain soda, like you get at the movie theater with ice. Ooh, like I loved that. I still now, like when I feel like I'm stressed or I want to have like things set up for myself, I do rely on non-alcoholic beverages, whether it's kombucha, whether it's seltzer, whether it's like some other like vinegar tonic or whatever it is. I like having.
What do you think about vinegar tonics?
Like shrub based. I mean, they're
shrub based. What's
they're
that?
They're like shrubs.
I went to something the other day, you know, Rachel from Sober in Central Park wants to do events.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to this event place with her, and then she had a friend who was like coming out with a vinegar beverage.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so weird.
Well, no, they can be good. It just depends. I've tasted ones that were really good. I've tasted ones that were not so good. But I just like the, and it's funny because a lot of people I know who aren't drinkers, alcohol drinkers, who maybe are, and they're not, like, I have friends who don't drink alcohol, who, not because they had to go to rehab, just they just stopped drinking because they didn't like the way it was making them feel as they got older. They also love having an assortment of beverages. The beverages I drink now, I don't really drink soda, so it's mostly like...
Right, but you don't... What I'm getting at, it's like, obviously, I was a horrible heroin addict and a benzo addict as well, and I gave those up, and I was very much dependent on weed, nicotine, and sugar.
Right.
Very much. Like, and just to feel normal, you know, just to feel normal. And then, like, I didn't want to give up weed, you know. And, and eventually I felt like I had to.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the answer, I'm going to answer, give my answer, which I'm still, I gave up weed, right? And it took, you know, few months, 3 or 4 months, and then I didn't feel like I needed it to feel normal.
Right.
You know, 3 or 4 months and it goes away.
I mean, and I think also like I know when like giving up any kind of like habit or behavior, no matter what it is, I think finding things that like you weren't as inclined to do, like if there are things that like she wasn't inclined to do because she'd just come home and like smoke weed and chill out, there might be things that she finds that like, oh wow, like I have a friend who in recovery like joined like a Britpop choir in New York, or she might find that she wants to play pickleball or whatever it is, like horseback ride, whatever it is, you may find that there are things that like letting go of that security blanket because it opens the door to like have other experiences that, that you wouldn't if you were just staying home and smoking weed.
Well, it's really like what I'm hearing because it also it's interesting to me because it reminds me of the Sopranos or the Sopranos and
Sopranos,
my new soup venture called Sopranos, which just makes Italian wedding soup. That's the only one. But no, because like those are security blankets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, watching 90210 or the Sopranos is total security blanket. And for me, sugar is still
me too.
I mean, it's a deep security blanket. It's crazy. Like it's crazy. Like that the shit that I need to consume at the end of the day to feel okay.
I honestly think that I consume the majority of my calories at the end of the day.
I know, it's crazy.
I don't like, I'm not a huge eater. I'm like, I mean, I like food, but I do try and limit it. But I like every night, like I have to have like, you know, it's like, oh, watch something good and like have a sweet treat. It's my sweet treat. And, you know,
what's your sweet treat right now?
I've been doing like dark chocolate with ginger in it. It's really good.
Who makes this bougie product?
I think it's
ginger dark chocolate.
Cocoa Love or Choco Love.
Really? With ginger?
Yeah, it's good.
I really love ginger and I love dark chocolate.
I do
chocolate.
Too. It's got like crystallized ginger in it. So it's got that little it's good.
I'll try it.
It's satisfying. But you know, ice cream is like probably my biggest vice. It's
how
like the
often
hardest
are you
thing.
Eating ice cream?
I mean, sometimes I'm eating it every night.
Really?
But I don't, I have like a, I use one of Franklin's like kid bowls, like a smaller bowl. I mean, it's full, but I do that so that I don't eat more than that.
It's amazing to me. Like the other night we had done something, I don't remember. We had a busy day and day's over. And I think I had to go get Nora from a party. It's late. Knicks are on a West Coast trip, so it means the game starts at 10.
Right.
So like, and I'm like, maybe I won't watch, and I'm like, no, I need to watch. So at around 9, there's a chain in New York called Ralph's Italian Ice.
Oh, Oh, I love Italian ice.
But they also do this thing called cream ice.
Yes,
you're familiar
like
with
the
cream
Spumoni
ice.
One.
But it's like I don't know that it's less calories than ice cream, but I've decided that it is.
Right,
it's
it
cream
feels
ice.
Like it should.
It's not as good. It must. But so like I go there, right, and I step into the place, with my stupid dog. My dog's been banned from most places in our town, but not yet from Ralph's. So I step into the place, and it's this couple, and they're getting two large cream ices. Mm-hmm. I'm talking like a fucking glass
right.
full. And I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, that, I could go for that. I could go for a large. I don't have the balls to order a large anything. I've never ordered a large ice cream anywhere. Right. But I've always wanted to.
Right.
But then what it comes down to for me, like the idea that you can sit with a Franklin bowl and mm-hmm. be like, that's enough.
Well, I know, but I do the bowl so that I don't overeat it because I make that bowl so full.
Right.
And then to me, I'm like, look at all this ice cream. It's coming out the top of the bowl, but it's this little bowl.
Right.
So otherwise, normally I'd get like a cereal bowl and fill that whole thing up.
I'm like, it's just... For me, and it's funny because I feel the same. I've said this a million times on the show, but it's the same thing with sugar as it was with cigarettes, mm-hmm. which is that I want to stay smoking all day. And when I start eating ice cream, mm-hmm. I don't want to stop.
Right.
And like a pint, like I haven't eaten a pint of ice cream in years.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, I have not eaten a pint of ice cream in years. My thing would be to eat 2/3 and then you have that little bit at the bottom.
That's what Seth does and drives me crazy.
That's the portion for a man who wants the whole thing, but stops.
But is trying to look like he did.
Right. The 2/3 pint. I think they should sell, just like I think they should make Suboxone in like crazy small doses. From 0.01 to 1,
mm-hmm.
they should sell ice cream in 1/3 of pints in the store. You buy 1/3 of a pint. That's what they should
do. They kind
of
do.
They,
well,
you with those little
dogs. No, those are small. And I don't really like Häagen-Dazs.
Why? What do you eat?
I don't know.
You are next level bougie.
No, you're next level. You're not going to think I'm bougie when I tell you what I eat
what
instead
do you
of
eat?
Häagen-Dazs. What? So I like, when I want to just be simple, I like vanilla with Hershey's chocolate syrup.
From where? What brand?
I get Breyers. Breyers.
They make a damn good vanilla ice
cream. A serving of Breyers is 170 calories. Same ice cream. It's not like diet ice cream.
So what do you do
and
without...
a serving of Häagen-Dazs is like 300 calories.
That's because it's a superior
no,
blend.
No, and it's too hard. It's always so hard getting it out of there. And I like Whole Foods 365 brand vanilla is also good.
I want some ice cream now. What I like to do is to take vanilla ice cream, mm-hmm. then take Nestle's semi-sweet morsels, then take chocolate syrup, then take a scoop of peanut butter.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Then take a what happened? Then take a little crumbling of some sort of cereal, like maybe Life on top.
Right.
I'm happy with that.
Right.
Or even better, fucking cookies in there. Chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah.
What's really amazing
does.
Is the Brookie.
Mm-hmm.
Which we know is half mm-hmm. Brookie, half chocolate chip
right.
cookie. The Brookie Sunday is like, and like, I want to live there and I don't want to leave.
Right.
But I also like, I'm like, well, why aren't I skinny? Like, why aren't I this thing? And it's like, well, why, how could I? It's like people at meetings, like, why can't I get sober? Well, you're not doing any of the things that mm-hmm. are suggested. How could you possibly, like, how can I possibly eat the way I want and look the way I want?
Seth,
it's incongruous.
He's like, works out with a trainer 3 days a week and like intense, right? With like free weights and stuff. And he says, like, he's like, I honestly think that like I'm working out with this trainer just so I can eat ice cream.
But that's fine.
It is. I mean, that's like, look, I don't think there's anything wrong with eating sugar. I think if it's making you feel poorly, like you wake up with stomach aches, your digestion's all fucked up, you're not happy with how you feel because eating too much sugar can make you feel sluggish. However, I'll say this for ice cream. Now, when you add all the other shit on it, this isn't true. But anytime you eat sugar that has a high fat content, where it's a good fat, not a trans fat, but like in...
Are you being transphobic
right
now?
I knew you were going to say that. No. And not like a saturated... Like, so if you have ice cream, it's like... Breyers ice cream is just milk, cream, and sugar. That's it.
It's a great... They're vanilla ice cream. So
okay.
Excellent.
So...
They do have the little flakes of vanilla bean as well.
I love it.
The flakes make it...
Because they use vanilla bean, right? So... So if you have something with a high fat content like that, like a croissant, okay, as well has a high fat content, your blood sugar isn't going to spike in the same way as if you ate like a pack of Starburst.
I mean, like, I don't even, I, People like different things.
Yes.
People like
different things. I do like gummy bears. Am I not close to the mic? Why are you looking at me weird?
No, it's that the headphone jack. It's like it sounds like everything is ruined, but it's fine. Everything's fine. Don't touch anything. Don't touch anything.
All right, here, wait, here. Here's the headphone jack.
Okay, so what's your advice for Melanie?
Okay, I think that I would look for something that you want to do. Because, I mean, yes, she could go to meetings and do that if she's so inclined.
Melanie, last I checked, mm-hmm. she was smoking weed morning, noon, and night. And now she's only smoking a little weed at night.
Well, that's a big improvement.
Yeah, great improvement.
I mean, but if she feels like it's still, like, not enhancing her life and she'd like to stop, then I would find something that you would like to do in the evenings that smoking weed impedes, right? So whether it's like you want to like every night like read, or every night you want to do a yoga class or whatever it is, find something, or every night you want to like paint, or every night you want to color in a coloring book, whatever it is. Like me, like jigsaw puzzles, like, you know me and my jigsaw puzzles. I love a fucking jigsaw puzzle, and it really like kicks that dopamine up. I don't think about anything else. I love it.
How often are you jigsaw puzzling?
I mean, I do a little bit every day, but it's limited. I usually in the morning, this is my routine, I make breakfast for Franklin, unless Seth already made it. Then I make Franklin's lunch for school.
What do you make him for lunch?
Oh, he's so fucking picky.
What do you give him?
Like today he likes turkey, but like, and I cut it up. He doesn't like it in a sandwich. He just likes it. I get one of those little like kid toothpicks so he can like,
toothpick
for like a bento box. He has like a little bento box.
It's the age of children with
cucumbers
bento boxes.
And carrots.
We do it too. It's horrible.
Apple, and then veggie chips, and then he had little Annie's gummies for his like treat in that little center thing in the bento box.
The indica or the sativa gummy?
That'd be amazing.
Melatonin gummy.
Sending my six-year-old.
Just melatonin for Franklin.
Well, no, he does get melatonin sometimes, but not with weed in it. And then for his snack, he likes dried strawberries or like pirate booty or Chex.
I don't like pirate booty.
Not Chex mix, but like just Chex, rice Chex cereal. That's just plain cereal.
That's delicious.
Pirate booty is like, I don't like it. Like, even with Cheetos, I know they kind of, like, they're, yeah, I get it, like, why people like them. But I don't like that stuff all over my hands. And
no, I don't like them either. I don't like them either. I do like, remember when we were, I don't know if they still do, they had the dense cheese doodle and the airy cheese doodle.
Yeah. Because one was crunchy and one was, like, puffed.
Right. The crunchy was like, the dank cheese in there. But I didn't like either. I don't like either.
I mean, I've had them. They're fine.
I don't like any of those things. Like, yeah. I can do that. Linda loves all that shit.
I like, now I've had like cheese popcorn that was really good.
I like that.
But some, it's like you got to get it from the right place. And we ordered it. Like, you know how people like buy them? They used to buy them in the 80s. There were like popcorn stores.
Yes.
I think they're still popcorn stores.
I think they're more direct to consumer now, though, because the overhead of a brick and mortar popcorn store.
Sell popcorn.
You have to sell a lot of popcorn.
There used to be one in L.A. at Universal City Walk.
See, I'm watching too much Shark Tank to be able to say that you can't have a pop.
You're out.
There's no stores. It's sad. It's like,
I know.
I have this belief. Mm-hmm. I have a belief that
there's no stores where?
Just in the city, like at the time.
I do most of my shopping in stores.
Well, that's good.
I should take that back. There are things that like I'll order online, like from Amazon, because it's just easier, right? But my neighborhood has like a lot of little stores that I go into.
Yeah, but there's fucking stores dying. And there's
for sure.
There's
for
stores
sure.
dying
Atrophy.
Everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think Amazon should be forced to like... This is what my belief mm-hmm. is that because Amazon destroyed the economy in most of the country in many ways, they should be forced to buy stores and real estate and give them to small business owners at a really reduced rate.
That would be amazing.
Don't you think that's a cool idea?
It's a great idea. They'll never do it.
But they should be fucking forced.
Right.
Like that's how you make America great again. And that's why I'm going to be running for president. In 5 years, if they do that, they don't have an election in 5 years.
No,
but
four
that's.
Years.
But I believe that if like Amazon wants to do something good, like they should be forced to do that, and then some small business like gets a good deal.
Right.
What do you think?
I think it's a great idea.
Thank you. What about What other ideas do you like that I have?
Mannheim 2028.
I don't think I'm electable. I don't think I'm an electable potential candidate.
Do you know that for a while, like I had several friends who were really pushing me to like get into politics.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah. That era. You're not into it anymore?
Oh, I was never into it. I don't want to do it. I'm not worried about whatever. Like all my skeletons are out in the open. What are they going to find? However, I don't want to put my family through that.
No, but like, would you enjoy political life is the question. You might. I could see you enjoying it.
I think there are parts of it that I could. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's why I'm interested in like
advocacy work. I was going to say, what happened to your bug for advocacy?
No, I still have it. Actually, that's like on sort of like my personal agenda. So this week I'll be done at the end of this week. I should be done with my first pass revision on my book. And then it's going to go to my few people in my writing group. I'll get notes, do one more revision on it, and then send it to my agent.
Right, that's exciting.
It is. Then I'm hoping that I'll have a little time there to kind of focus on dialing back in with the advocacy stuff, because I spoke at a Dopey recovery meeting the other night, and one of the things that we talked about for a long time was how we talk to our kids about drugs, how to have those conversations. If you have a kid who's struggling with drugs, you know, like what's the best course of action? And I have a lot of opinions on this. And granted, I know I'm not a doctor, but I have access to looking at the evidence.
So what are you saying?
I think that rehab is in general a terrible idea for an adolescent.
Oh yeah, it's terrible.
A terrible idea.
Terrible, terrible. But I mean,
I also think that like expecting a 14. I know that there are people who there are the, you know, occasional teenagers who stay sober. I think that like for 99% of teenagers, giving them an abstinence model isn't going to work.
Right. Here. No, I don't think anything works. I think nothing works. I think best thing you can do is try to give them information.
Keep them alive.
Try to give them information, yeah. Keep them alive, and then like hope for the best. I'm going to read this email I got.
Okay.
Hey, Dave, I know I just emailed recently, but I heard you talk about salvia on a few episodes and realized that I have a dopey story. You never smoked salvia.
No. Mm-mm. That's like a synthetic weed?
Yeah. Okay. The first time I smoked it, for some reason, I thought it'd be a good idea to do it in my room by myself with the lights off, right as reality was slipping away. I heard my housemates coming home from the bars. They came in screaming, laughing, slamming doors, and generally acting like drunk idiots. The noise must have seeped into my trip because at one point I was floating up some cave tunnel and these chicken clown creatures with super, super sharp claws were cackling at me and trying to get at me. I didn't like that part, but there were also some peaceful floaty moments. When I came to, I went out and told my friend what I was up to, and we took turns tripping again. For some reason, I did it again like a month later. This time I left the lights on. Salvia makes you lose sense of time, and I had this moment where I knew time had passed since my last trip, but I thought that I'd been high for like the whole time and that this is just my life now. I was so sad. I tried to stand up and the room kept flipping upside down and I'd fall back down on the bed. I probably looked like a dying fish flopping all over the place. And lastly, I saw this license plate that said SMI and I had to send it to you. Must be a hardcore old school dopey fan. All right, I'll shut up now. Thanks for the show. Toodles, Scott. Any thoughts about salvia?
I have no experience with salvia. I did have my Ask Aaron last week was about, well, it was couched in this woman being concerned about her live-in boyfriend's financial stability, but it was really that it seemed like he was spending all his money on, is it Kratom or Kratom?
I think Soprano,
Kratom, Kratom. And so, her boyfriend had a little Kratom habit. And to me, that was the bigger issue.
Well, the craziest thing about Kratom or whatever you want to call it, like this week on the show, we had this YouTube guy, mm-hmm. and he had gotten off of heroin and coke and ketamine and fentanyl, mm-hmm. and he found himself doing Kratom, but it totally caused straight up relapse. And he described Kratom as just an opiate, you know, and it's related. And I know, I mean, like,
it's not an opiate, but it attaches, see, first, it, from what I, like, in my little bit of research I did to answer this woman's question, is that for some people it acts as a stimulant, and for some people it attaches to opiate receptors.
Yes. I have an Ask Aaron question for my own.
Okay.
All right. And I'm not going to use any names because I don't want to shame anybody.
Okay.
But maybe I will, but I'll try not to. There's an old-timey dopey person. Mm-hmm. He's been on the show many times. Mm-hmm. He's been to DopeyCon.
Right.
He's in and out. You know, he's struggling.
Right.
And literally, he's been to rehab, I don't know, five times this year.
Right.
And he's AMA'd over and over again.
Right.
And that stands for?
Against medical advice.
Leaving against medical advice. Thank you. I was like, what the fuck? It's like, that doesn't sound like leaving against medical advice. This morning, after weeks of saying, I'm going to this place, I'm going to that place, whatever. This morning, he writes me, I'm going to this place. I was like, good. I'm just like, whatever.
Right.
Like, I'm just like, I have no hope, really. Mm-hmm. But I'm just kind of like, I don't want to deal. I don't want to. It's not that I don't have any hope, but I don't. But it's like, what am I going to do? I just need to step the fuck off and step out of it. And then he tells me he's going to ask his mom for money for gas to get to treatment. And I start telling him to call other people like that I know that are there.
Right.
And then, of course, he asked me.
He asked you for money?
He asked me for money.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think I gave it? I guess, do you think I gave him money and should I have are the questions.
So in terms of should you, my opinion on giving people money, if they're using or not using, whatever, I think it, you have to kind of take drugs out of the equation. And if somebody asks for money because they need it for something and you have it to give and you feel like giving it, give it. And then you have to let go of whatever they do with that money. Otherwise, don't give it. Like, I give money to people all the time, like unhoused people in New York. And I mean, with that case, I honestly don't care
it's
how they're
different,
spending it.
It's different, though, if it's like your friend that you've been dealing with in their addiction.
Here's an example. My friend Nick, years ago, many, many years ago, Atticus was a baby. He was in a bad situation. He was dope sick. He just told me. He and his girlfriend were dope sick, and he asked me if there was any way I could wire him money. And I said, you know, I said, and I did. I wired him, like, I don't know, $100 or something. I said, I'm not going to do it again. I said, they needed money, like, what? It's a long story, but they needed to get out of the city they were in, and they needed enough to just get in the car and drive where they needed to go, and I sent him money. I saw him for the first time in years, like, last year or the year before, and his now wife was like, that was like the kindest thing, because they were like running from like gangsters in San Francisco or something. She's like, that, like, I'll never forget that. Like, she's like, I had never even met you. And she's like, you like saved our asses. So I would, but if somebody came to me all the time asking for money.
This guy never asked me for money before, but like, I'm scared. Like, I don't mind. I gave him $20.
Yeah.
You know, I gave him $20. It's not about the money. It's, I'm scared he's going to die.
And then you're going to feel responsible?
Yeah.
You're not responsible.
I know, but it's like.
And I don't, I like, I know, like, that there are hard lines on enabling. To me, that's not, like, there, we all understand what it's like to be, it, somebody is in that situation and they're that desperate and they ask me for $20. I would rather, again, not if they're coming to me every single day. I would rather give that person the $20 than push them into doing something that's even more dangerous or could harm somebody else to get that money.
I don't. Yeah, I hear you. I don't give anybody money. Like, I barely give in. I mean, except for my family.
Right.
But I gave him money because he needed gas to get to treatment. Mm-hmm. And he said he still had fentanyl that he was smoking.
Right.
You know, on his way.
Right.
But it's like, I want to see him get there.
Right.
And I didn't want to be like, no.
Right.
You know what I mean? He said, I'll pay you back. I don't care about the money.
I think it's.
I just wish I kind of, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. That's all.
I mean, I think that you have to let, you have to, if you're going to do that, you just have to let it go. You have to say, like, there are people, I have friends who've asked me for money.
If he dies today.
It's not your fault.
Right. Right. But I, maybe I shouldn't have given him the money.
why? You think that you giving him money would have changed that trajectory? You not giving him money would change the trajectory?
No, I don't know.
It may have caused more problems. I mean,
how? What? Like, I mean,
I'm sure there are a lot of people in 12-step recovery who would disagree with me. But I
there's
don't,
nothing in 12-step that says you shouldn't give money.
I just mean that a lot of people in my experience when I was doing 12-step meetings a lot that would think that that's enabling somebody. Again, I think it's different if somebody's coming to you day after day after day and you're giving them $20 every day. That's a different thing. I think that when we care about people and we don't have any reason to believe that that's not why he's asking you for money. He said, I need money to get to rehab. Could you give me money for gas? You gave him the money for the purpose of him getting them there. You are not responsible for what he does with the money.
Well, he already had his fentanyl. I just hope he didn't die or whatever. Right. I hear you. All right. That's going to be the end of our special Tuesday edition of Dopey. Did you have a good time?
I did.
Did you learn anything?
I learned, yes, I learned that Lenny Dykstra is racist.
Potentially.
Potentially. Allegedly.
He also thought that my dad could make a lot of money in the elderly sex work New York City circuit. And he wanted to pimp my dad out.
Oh, my God.
That's what he wanted. That was the big tickle.
I mean, I kind of get what he's saying.
Oh, my dad's very debonair.
Right? I mean, he's got, your dad has like a lot of like, you know.
Swag.
Swag
for an 80-year-old.
Right.
God bless him. All right. Thank you, Aaron. Stay strong, Dopey Nation, and fucking toodles for Chris.
Toodles.